what? I've decided after years of counseling couples and families that two people who choose to get married will have as good a marriage as they choose to have. There might be outside forces. There might be problems with in-laws and finance and health and all those things. But the determination on the amount of happiness and contentment will come down to those two people deciding what kind of a marriage do you all want. That's really the question. So today, I'll tell you what we're going to do. By the way, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. I'm live here in our studios along with Jennifer and Stephen and our team. And we get tons of calls that come into our comment line, questions that are asked of me about the different topics. And we've taken several now that have come on the topic of marriage. I'm going to try to address those today. I'm going to be really straight with you. I'm going to just lay it out. I'm going to show you that there are solutions to whatever's going on in your marriage if we choose to be intentional in understanding God's intention for your marriage. What makes it particularly difficult is that in marriage, we're not just dealing with you, we're dealing with that other person. There's two people who, if they're not standing in the same circle of influence with each other, the same circle of love and attention with each other, can create some real tension in that relationship. So I want to help you in your marriage to think about one thing that you could do if you're facing a challenge in your marriage. It could be we're not on the same page with money or with the kids, or we're not communicating, or I'm just feeling lonely, or whatever it is. I'd love to encourage you today and give you some direction from God's word, okay? So I'm going to open the phone line to you as well, along with those who have left comment and questions for me. Lines open. We're live at 888-888-1717. You got a question on marriage? You want some input? I'd love to be able to share with you and help you see that from God's word and from the intentional living process, there's something you can do today that'll make a difference. I want to encourage you. I want you to, by the end of this half hour, say, wow, I've got some hope. Okay? So we can experience hope. Let's go. Hillary is going to be first, as she left a comment for me and a question. So welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. My name is Hillary. I've been married 5 years now, and my husband and I have had our ups and downs. And lately we've been, you know, we're not down. It's just I'm starting to find I'm so frustrated with our lack of communication. If I try to bring something up, to talk about something, you know, and if it's something we disagree on, he prefers just let's just not talk about it. And I try my best, you know, like let's just, you know, compromise. Let's have a civil conversation and work this out. And his answer is I'm nagging and I'm complaining and he just wants to let it go. And I have such a hard time with this, and you know, and then he gets kind of frustrated with me, and so he gets very snippy and kind of belittling. And I'm trying my best to come up with better solutions. You know, and I've looked into marriage counseling, but I don't think he'd do it because he looks at like counseling. We don't need counseling. Really, we just need to learn to communicate, and he's just not willing to try. I don't know. I just thought maybe if he had an idea, maybe some advice, you know, that, that seems to be our only real problem that we can't seem to work through is he wants to ignore everything, and I want to talk it out and figure out a solution.
All right, Hillary, listen, you guys, this is a, let's been married for a little bit of time, and we got to get this set. If you get this set now, early in this marriage, the first few years, you're going to be a whole lot better off when you call and say, we've been married 10 years. If you don't, you're going to go right into the ditch. This is one of those pain points in a relationship. And so I'm going to give you two things, Hillary, two things. First of all, you've got to share with your husband. And you've got to do it kindly, but you sound like a sweetheart, but you got to do it firmly and saying, honey, I love you, and we got to figure this out on how to talk, but I've got to talk, we've got to share, because I got to tell you what this is costing you in this marriage and what it's costing me in this marriage. There's a point where I'm concerned. I don't want to lose respect for you. I don't want to lose a sense of not wanting intimacy with you. I don't want to lose those things that really drew us together. There is a cost. There is a cost to communication stubbornness. When you're stubborn not to communicate because for whatever reason, listen, guys, listen, ladies, you're going to pay for it. I don't know how you're going to pay for it, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it in ways that are either passive aggressive or straight up. And so you need to, you got to sit down and talk to your husband about that. And one of the things you need to do, the second thing, Hillary, is you got to ask him, you got to say, honey, listen, we've just been married a while here, but I have to communicate. Tell me how you want to communicate. Tell me how it best works for you. Because frankly, not everybody is the same communicator. A lot of guys will tell me, I love my wife, but if I open up that door to start communicating with her, it'll never stop. And a lot of guys are like, tell me what the problem is and I'll fix it. Right? You know, I can't deal with the feelings as well as fixing the problem. And you bring me feelings and then you don't want me to fix your problem. That just leaves me feeling frustrated. So he needs to be honest with you and you need to be honest with him and come to terms with how to communicate. Reading some good books. There's great books out on communication. Our own Star for Affection book that I've written can be very helpful for you. Going to a conference, getting into a marriage conference on marriage communication, watching a video, doing something can be very helpful to you. But I just encourage you. You said, I think you said you were a year into this marriage or so. This is the time to get this fixed, all right? All right, you can join in. I got callers we're going to get to and comment line questions. We're just talking marriage today. Got a question? I want to share one thing with you. I'll tell you the truth. You may not want to hear it, but I'll tell you the truth. 888-888-1717 is the number. Tina in Michigan. Hi there, Tina. How are you?
Very good. How are you today?
Good. What's your question today?
Well, I've been married for 4 years, and since I've been married, my husband does not like to help with any of the household bills or chores, which I get the chores, I guess, but the bills, I get half of the house payment, and that's all I get. Now, why is it my responsibility to have to pay for everything else, and he does what he wants with his own money?
Ooh. Yeah.
That's not fair.
Well, it's not only not fair, it's a way to have real financial problems and marriage problems and stress in your marriage if you're not on the same page. Why is it, do you think, that he wants to do it this way as opposed to let's put in a pot, work on it together, and have a budget?
I don't think he wants to have a wife. I think he wants a mother.
Did you think that when you got married?
I kind of had inkling of that, but I figured, no, it'll get better, but it has not.
So you ignored your inklings.
I know. I should have went with my gut feeling, but I did not.
Have you guys talked about this? Have you laid the cards on the table? And he says?
He just says, well, I paid for the water heater. Okay. But we've been together 5 years, and I've paid the electric bill 100% of the time.
Now, wait. Let me understand this. You guys have been married how long?
4 years. Together, five.
Is this the first marriage for both of you?
No. He was married before, and my last marriage, we both had a previous marriage.
Did you both bring in the garbage from the first marriage into the second one? Unresolved issues?
No, his kids are all grown and mine were grown. I was married 27 years prior.
All right. So what I hear is both of you in the first couple acts of your life established your own financial patterns, your own communication patterns, and now you're older, a little older, more mature, and you're kind of saying, hey, I kind of want my own space, and I'm treating this more as not a marriage, but sort of a partnership of some sort.
Correct.
Is that what I'm hearing?
I think right.
Are you both believers?
Yes, I am 100%. He says he is, but I don't know.
Okay.
On his part.
All right. And so where are you right now? At this point, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I need to cut my losses and just go my own separate way.
In other words, to say, hey, I'm done with this.
Correct. Because
does he
know
that?
Oh, absolutely.
And hey, what does he say when you say, hey, I'm ready to cut my losses and get out of this?
He says, well, you just need me to, you know, give me some time and I got some money coming. And no, he doesn't, you know, He doesn't have a job. He just picks and chooses when he works, and I'm getting too old for that. I need stability.
All right. Well, Tina, listen, I want to turn the camera to everybody listening. If you got an inkling, don't ignore your inklings. I don't know what an inkling is, but don't ignore it when you're dating, you're thinking about making a decision in life, whatever it may be, marriage, money, whatever it is. If you've got an inkling, you got to stop and say, now, is this of God? Is this inkling coming from God? Or is this from me or my own fears or what's going on? And a person who will stop at the inkling corner and get some help and sort it out can solve a lot of problems down the line. Because in this case, Tina, not only you are struggling, but your husband is struggling. In other words, if I had you both on the line right now, he would be sharing his pain and you'd be sharing your pain. And the question is, and this is really the issue, this is the question. Do the two of you want to be married to each other? I mean, you're really going to say, hey, we got to work at this. I mean, like you said, I'm getting too old for this. That's why I said, if you were brand new, just getting married, you'd be establishing your relationship and money and communication, just like Donna and I did. We married as teenagers. We had no choice. We had to figure it out. We had $50 in the bank, and we're going to figure out what we're going to do with it. You know, she's not going to have her account and my account. It'd be $20 in each account. And so we just, I guess, dumb enough or just figured it out. We're going to do this together as a couple. And we just have done that for many, many years. And so what happens in second and third marriages is we bring those first couple acts of our life, those acts in our marriage, often into this new relationship without getting a clear understanding of how we're going to relate to each other. So here's my one thing for you, Tina. I would encourage you, and I don't know what's going to happen. I pray that your marriage can be saved. I really do. But I would encourage you to go to your husband and say, honey, we're both too old for this. And I think that it's pretty clear that God's intention would be for us to be smart enough to go get some help. Let's get the cards on the table. Let's be honest with each other. Let's put aside our own, you know, history, whatever forgiveness we need to go through. And let's see if we can, before God, be intentional to take that first baby step to start resolve these issues. Because let me tell you something, money's not the problem. Money is the symptom of a deeper problem that's going on in your relationship.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Let me share five things I think we need to respond appropriately to the defining moments in our life. Number one, let's learn to pray in chapter one and act in chapter two. You know, that order makes a difference. How many of us wait to pray in chapter two, chapter three, chapter four of our life? We get that defining moment, and instead of stopping and sitting and praying and seeking God and getting centered spiritually, we wait until we're in the belly of the big fish. See, we wait until we're in the belly of the beast, and then we cry out to God for survival. Defining moments define your life, and sometimes the defining moment's right there in the middle of that marriage of yours. It's either an aha moment where I'm waking up to something I got to deal with, or an oh no moment, just like we heard from Tina. And so the teaching this month is how do you deal with defining moments in your life? It's up on our website for our exclusive site for our members. And thank you for being a member. What does that mean? You support the ministry every month with whatever God lays on your heart to do. Typically about $1 a day, $30 a month. It all goes to keep us going here. And we need your help. Come and join us. Get on the journey. It'll help you. It'll help others changing lives together. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click donate, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717 is the number. All right. When you do, you'll be a part of the program today. By the way, when you call that number, you're welcome to join in. I have these questions coming in from our storyline, question line, but I'd love to have you join in as well, just like Tina did. So if you have a question, 888-1717.
I was explaining to Stephen, the challenge I'm having with my husband and our communication is he picks and chooses what he feels is important to communicate with me. And if it's not important to him, it's just no big deal. And then I might bring something up to him, like, well, she would have communicated that with me. And then he goes on and invalidates the reason for not communicating. It goes back to a lot within our marriage with, I've been helping raise my stepson since he was 4 and he's almost 18. And this past Christmas, he went to his mom's house for a few days after Christmas. He told me he was coming home one day, and then he didn't bother to tell me that he was coming home early, and he just showed up. I asked my husband, why didn't you tell me he was going to go ahead and come home a little earlier? And he didn't feel like there was any need to tell me.
A little disrespect. A lot of disrespect going on, which is a killer in marriage, for sure. All right. We've got a pain point here from Ed on forgiveness. It sounds like Ed, go right ahead.
Dr. Andy, my wife and I are struggling really bad, and you know, I listen to the show, and you know, it's in regards to infidelity on my case, and I'm not sure what to do at this point. You know, there's so much bitterness, anger, and the situation now that everything is just going so crazy, and I figured I'd leave this message.
All right, and he did. And you're welcome to share yours as well. Ed, listen, brother. I hear pain, nothing but pain in your voice. From, frankly, a dumb decision you made. And the reality is, listen, this is really important stuff. You and I never know fully what the unintended consequences will be of the decisions that we make until that unintended consequence hits. When you chose to get involved with someone else, you weren't thinking about what's going on today. You were thinking about what was going on then. And smart people, intentional people, come on now. This is not only in marriage, this has to do with money. If you're spending money you don't have, there's an unintended consequence, because the reality is you're thinking, I can spend the money, it's going to make me happy, when you don't have it. And the unintended consequence is you're going to be miserable down the road. So we have unintended consequences in the decisions we make. So it's important for all of us to understand, before we make a decision, to ask the question, what is this going to cost me down the road? That's really important. Now, for you, Ed, God love you. I'm so sorry for you. I'll tell you what, I've been around long enough to see marriages like yours come back fully restored, better than ever, fantastic testimony of God's glory. I've also seen marriages that never come back, go into the gutter, and they're done. And the reality is, Ed, forgiveness and restoration is not in your court, but because of your decision, you put it into her court. And she's going to be the one that's ultimately going to make the decision if she's going to continue to move in the direction of restoring the relationship. So, three things for you, Ed. Number one, you got to pray. You got to pray, first of all, dealing with your own sin in your life, understanding that the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God can restore you. You need accountability. You need to get with some other guys. You need to get with a counselor. You need to deal with why, what's going on and why this happened in your life. Deal with you, because she's not going to be interested in the old you. She wants a new you. So number one, you've got to pray and you got to get your own stuff going here, which is really helping yourself. Secondly, you got to give her space. I see so many guys that do this and the wife is ready to bail out and they get frustrated and they get desperate and they beg and grovel and do all sorts of stupid stuff that only makes their wife less respectful toward him or toward you. So just give her the space she needs and give her the time that she needs. And you take care of yourself. You deal with you. You deal with whatever's going on in your life that needs to be dealt with. So you're the man that she really wanted and thought she got in the first place. And then, of course, whatever the underlying issues are in your marriage, I hope that'll come out in counseling. Don't give up. God is a God of restoration. God restores marriages. I've seen it occur right in front of me in a counseling room. I've seen it occur in the lives of couples at one of our conferences. I've heard people say, I've read one of your books, and it's changed our marriage. And so don't give up on this, but be very intentional in your prayer, giving space, and giving time. All right? And taking care to deal with whatever's going on in your life. All right. Let me go to the calls here. Deborah is in Arizona. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
I appreciate your call. What's your question today?
I've been married 22 years, and there's lots of intimacy, and we don't get it back.
Was there at one time intimacy?
Yes. There was. And it's just, we own our own business, and we work together as well. So I'm in the office, he's out in the field. And I just feel like our marriage has become more of a partnership instead of a relationship.
And how do you define intimacy for me, for you?
Conversation. It begins with like conversation, love, touch, date nights, and we don't have any of that. Like, it's hard to communicate anymore. He's tired all the time. That's all I hear is I'm tired. When the weekends come, it's tired. Can we go do something? Even if it's for a walk, or can we talk? He doesn't like to communicate. He's more of the, doesn't want to deal with it. Like, he's too tired to deal with it. So I feel like we've lost all of it. The communication, the trust, the love, and then time spent alone together.
Is the business doing okay, or is the business in trouble?
It's doing okay. It's just that we can't find good workers. So instead of him being more in the back of the business, he's in the business. So that's a hardship on him because he's tired. He's got to do it all instead of having more employees. Yeah.
Do you want to be in the business? Or would you rather be out?
I'd rather be out because I feel like that's what's caused our rift in our relationship. Again, we're more partnerships. And then if I tell him he's late or what's going on, it's more like I'm disrespecting him because I shouldn't question him, but I'm part of the business, so I need to answer and respond to customers. So I just feel like I should probably be out of the business because it doesn't help our relationship.
Let me ask you this. Would you prefer for your husband to be out of that business and have a, quote, or regular job and come home and have a, quote, normal marriage than what you guys are doing now?
Oh, yeah. He once worked at a different job, and our relationship was so much better, so different. It wasn't as stressful.
You think he wants the same thing and he doesn't know how to get there?
Yes, because we're also in financial debt, so he doesn't know how to get there. He's 10 years older, and now he doesn't see a sense of out of the business and financially stable.
Mm-hmm. So this has been accumulation of stress over an extended period of time, financial, work, and it's just your marriage is just sort of a victim in the middle of this milieu of what's going on.
Correct.
Yeah. So you had a great marriage one time, doing well, and it's kind of evolved into this. And if I hear you right, as a result of the stress, the work, the dynamic in your relationship is just not working.
Correct.
And he agrees with that.
He does. But he doesn't know how to get there. I feel like he's telling me. Like, he'll text me, let's try to find time for each other this weekend. But then the weekend comes, and then that gives me hope. But then I get let down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what I hear are two people who've just fallen away from each other and don't want to, but they don't know what else to do. I'll tell you, when we get stressed, when we get tired, this is a fact. Our brains operate differently. Our executive function in the frontal lobe of our brain, when we're under stress, kind of goes into neutral. And everybody listening to you today, including me, is saying, well, why don't you guys just deal with this? Sit down, get a counselor, talk it through, put a plan together, change the job, leave the job, sell the business, get another thing, get the stress off your back, and make your life what you guys want it to be and not be stuck. I mean, that's what people are hearing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's
it's
really
not that easy.
No, it isn't, because you know what? You're in the middle of it. And life is messy in the middle. And but that'd be the one thing I'd recommend, Deborah, is you guys find another couple, or if you could, even get away for a retreat. Like our friends at Focus on the Family have a whole intensive week for couples where you could just get together away from kids and work and all the stress, lay the cards on the table, pray about it, and come out of there or come out of counseling with a game plan that says, hey, we can do this better than this. Because I see two people love each other, want something better, and they just don't know how to get there. And I would encourage you to break the inertia of the negativity of what you're experiencing and do something better. Okay? That's what I would encourage you to do. All right. I'll be right back.
We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. That's a reminder. Your support means a lot. And right now, when you support the ministry, you're keeping us going. Come and join us at theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. Press number 2 to talk to our staff, or just press 1 and talk to Stephen, because I'm going to stay here in the studio for the next 30 minutes and take your questions on marriage. What's going on? If you want some input, glad to give it. What does God's word have to say about marriage and where you are today? If you're feeling like, hey, there's got to be something better we can do, and you're looking for some hope, I'm here. I'd love to talk to you. We love you guys. We want the best for you. Phone lines open, 888-888-1717. Pray for Deborah, won't you? I think you probably all heard the same thing. Two people love each other who are working together. I mean, I did my dissertation on family business, and we see this kind of thing where there's in her case, she didn't want to be in the business, and I'm not sure he does either. But what do? We got debt and we're stuck. You need some help. Got to get a plan together. That'll provide. All right, I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run. I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to continue this discussion on marriage. Hope you'll join us then.